This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I signed a memorandum directing the Attorney General to propose regulations to ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns.
All right. The president takes action on bump stocks, which led partially to that disastrous, horrific melee massacre in Las Vegas. But what about banning assault rifles? A big issue in Florida, as you can imagine. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's where we start. We have Justin Duckham joining us from Washington, D.C., from Talk Media News. Justin, obviously, the president's saying he wants an executive action. He's going to do it to ban the bump stocks. And there are people who sell them in this country. What was the reaction to that?
Well, you know, this is very interesting. And one of the first quick reactions from a lot of people in D.C. was whether or not he has the authority to do what he asks. You know, what we've seen in the past is calls for regulatory efforts coming from Republicans to get the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to regulate bump stocks. But there's still some questions over whether or not they are allowed to do that or whether it needs to go through a legislative process and actually have lawmakers come down and give their own votes on it. That's something that a lot of them have been very reluctant to do in the past since, you know, this is always sort of a thorny issue, particularly if you are on the right. So that's something that they've been pretty eager to try to put off. So the president surprised a lot of people today by saying that he directed Jeff Sessions to figure out the framework for banning bump stocks. That's a step further than what the NRA had initially supported when they weighed in on this issue. They said that they wanted them to be regulated, but they stopped short of the call for a full-on ban, which we have certainly heard from the White House today, which you know, really just surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was surprising. I thought I had pretty good ears on this particular situation with bump stocks just in general, and I hadn't heard that anywhere. So that's interesting. Do you think there'll be a push for tighter background checks, I guess, because of what happened at the mass shooting at a Florida high school last week?
That is something that the president has said he is open to, saying that's something that members on both sides of the aisle need to come together to work on. And what we understand right now is there are plans in the in Congress to revisit legislation that would require background checks for you know, mental illness and for those who are on you know, certain lists or whatnot, but falling short of closing a lot of the major loopholes that are usually, you know, conducted to avoid all background checks and whatnot. So it's you know, it's a small step. It's you know, largely viewed as cosmetic in the grander scheme of things, but nevertheless, it is at least some movement towards, you know, any kind of change, which at this point, the political reality is, I guess, pointing to at this point. It's, you know, certainly a much different conversation than we've seen compared to previous mass shootings.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we jump from that that subject to North Korea. And, of course, you know this. The Olympics are going on, and besides some of the lousy performances by Americans that people are talking about, a big thing is the other side of it, the politics. And supposedly there was a secret meeting with the VP, Mike Pence, and a North Korean delegation, and that was canceled at the last minute. Was this a big deal? Were people talking about this?
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the more, I guess, theatrical versions of the Olympics, just kind of watching the sort of propaganda again going on with North Korea and how the U.S. Reacted to all of this. And today we got another page in that. This notion that the North Korean government dangled a meeting with Mike Pence and then pulled out, something that Pence's office, through a spokesperson, has largely said was them trying to you know, I guess win another propaganda victory, try to soften the message when it comes out from it, but ended up not happening. But either way, you know, there was a lot of people watching the interactions that took place, or lack thereof, between the U.S. and the North Korean delegation. And, you know, while there certainly was some talk after the fact that, you know, perhaps things could be different this time, you know, Pence seemed to be relatively more optimistic than some members of the administration at the close of this, but nevertheless still giving sort of a, you know, very firm stance. But, you know, this is just another sign that there are, you know, just a lot of sort of psychological dealings that are going on with this. And, you know, we're still a long way away from an actual, you know, just basic conversation about nuclear posturing.
There you go. That's the best way Yeah, that's the best way to say it. We're still a long way away from that. This was pretty interesting. The Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, announcing he's going to create this task force to look at how the Justice Department can, I guess, combat global cyber threats. There's no denying it's insane what happens when it comes to cybersecurity. So I say it's kind of about time. What do you think?
I mean, there's been a lot of pressure on the administration to, you know, do something when it comes to cyber threats, particularly now in the wake of the, you know, Mueller indictment of 13 Russian nationals who were accused of trying to meddle with the U.S. election. So not necessarily surprising to see something being done on that front. And, of course, this goes beyond just that. You know, this is something that doesn't just deal with our elections. This deals with, you know, American prosperity. This deals with companies and their profits. This deals with, you know, Americans' private information and whatnot. But it's kind of hard to take this away from the, you know, sort of Russian framework that we have right now. And we've had the White House defending, you know, the administration so far on a lot of the sort of Russian elements of this. Today during the briefing, White House Secretary Sarah Sanders doubled down on a tweet that the president sent out earlier in the day, claiming that he had been tougher than President Obama had been when it comes to the Russian government. You know, that's certainly up for debate, and debate that I don't think that this current White House would frankly win. But nevertheless, it is a good sign for everybody to be seeing to see something being done on this front.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. All right, so thank you so much as always, Justin Duckham. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Cybersecurity, I mean, there's no doubt about it. We're cracking and hacking and hearing about that with what's going on in regards to Russia and our election in 2016, or just what's happening in general as far as security when it comes to our private information and corporations that are hanging on to that, and how easily some of that is hacked into, and then information the government stores and what's hacked in there. All right, a little bit more on the whole bump stock thing. So the president made the announcement at a Medal of Valor ceremony at the White House for firefighters and cops, some who had intervened in shooting incidents. He told Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who was in the front row of this very big celebration in the East Room, where they always hold it. He said he expects new federal guidelines to be finalized soon. He's going to detail some more out. He's had a bunch of meetings about it since what happened in Florida. We'll see where all this ends up, because as Justin Duckham said, can he do that with an executive order or not? That is the big question there. Remember, Senator Dianne Feinstein from California first proposed legislation to ban bump stocks back in 2013. We're talking about that and the protests in Florida on the flip side here on ATN.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Now, don't just walk away.
My goal is to come up with something that is going to move the needle and make parents feel more comfortable that their kid's going to go to a safe school. That's the goal. I mean, these kids have got to go to safe schools.
That's Governor Rick Scott from Florida, of course. And while that was happening, there was the State House voting against taking up a bill to ban assault weapons, assault weapons, as the students were looking on, because the students that were at Parkland High School were obviously shook up beyond what I could possibly describe here in a microphone across these airwaves. No, it's not possible. Seeing their sad faces and looking at them there at the house was something to see, actually. And again, the State House rejected a ban on many semi-automatic guns and large-capacity magazines. Dozens of survivors of last week's school shooting went to the state capitol to become politically active, as they say, to do something, to turn that grief into something else. And remember, of course, it was just last week that 17 people were killed by a former student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. The vote in the Republican-dominated body was 36-71. There were a lot of the students in the gallery, and they said they felt as though they were heartbroken. It seems heartless, and how could they push the button and say no? And that was a lot of the reaction that you got from the kids that were there. House Rep Keone McGee from Miami invoked the Parkland shooting in requesting that what they called HB 219, which would ban AR-15 rifles and other guns defined as assault weapons and large-capacity mags, would be moved from committee to the House floor for questions, debate, and a vote. So you see what happens here, and I think that there's going to be much more in this discussion about what you just heard from Rick Scott say. What do you do to assure families, to assure students that they're safe? And, you know, the answer to that is you have security on the premises. You have what I think would be radical and I'm sure unacceptable to many people is what they do in Israel. Granted, smaller situation, different kind of country, different with what you deal with, but teachers with guns. Teachers with guns in Israel, you burst into the classroom, you burst into the school, you're a moving target for them. So in the case of that country, it works. Still doesn't guarantee that someone can get through there. What would that do in this country if that was what was required? What if it was required for teachers to be able to handle a gun and be proficient with a gun? Can you imagine? Of course, as soon as you say that, what do you think? A child accidentally being shot, something else happening, somebody getting the gun. I mean, you know, there's a million nightmare scenarios wrapped into that. As I said, that's the radical end of the spectrum, which I believe would not pass and would not work in most states because of the fear of what could happen, what kind of accidental things could happen, and how the school would be liable in that direction. But it is outrageous. It is sickening. It turns your stomach, and you want to do something. And what is the something that you fight for? What is it? Of course, keeping schools safe. How do you keep the schools safe? Especially the big schools, but any schools, because it can happen anywhere. So actually saying that doesn't necessarily ring true. And this is a discussion we've been having since Columbine. But as it gets worse and worse, or the numbers seem to increase, then the seriousness, I think, of what we talk about becomes, our words take on a different meaning. How about this? In Dallas, they want, one of the officials in Dallas, officials, wants the NRA to move their annual convention to another city. Yeah. This was an interesting story that I came across during the day. The National Rifle Association is going to have its convention, of course, in Dallas. So the debate is this, where you've got Dallas City Council member Dwayne Carraway saying it's not appropriate for the group to meet in Dallas in May because there's so much gun violence in the United States. And he says the NRA needs to step up to the plate and they need to show leadership. So he's calling for the city to ban the NRA. Carraway is serving as mayor pro tem, so he fills in when the mayor is absent. And now he's thrown out a personal belief about the NRA. There is no city action to stop the convention, and it's doubtful that there will be any city action. The NRA convention will take place May 3rd through the 6th at the Convention Center in Dallas. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings issued a statement saying he disagreed with the NRA's point of view and tactics, but said they have a legal contract that was signed in 2012, and I'm not advocating that we violate the agreement. Hopefully we will take the opportunity in Dallas to engage in meaningful dialogue about how we work together to end mass killings in America. So he's saying, okay, fine, then let's have a discussion when you're here. And he's right. Contractually, they're obligated. They've had that contract on the books for a while. They're not going to break that contract. No matter what the city councilman says, they're not going to have some kind of vote. They're not really actually going to delve into it because of what, not just, it's not publicity backlash. Contractually, it would really blow up on them. The Supreme Court, on the other hand, and this is interesting, the Supreme Court refused on Tuesday to hear a challenge to California's 10-day waiting period for gun purchases. So as this national debate has been ripped open again on the heels of that Florida shooting, Justice Clarence Thomas issued a 14-point dissent where he complained that lower courts have failed to give the Second Amendment the respect due an enumerated constitutional right. But none of the other courts, other conservatives, joined him in what he had to say. Since those landmark rulings in 2008 and 2010 upheld the right to keep and bear firearms for self-defense, the Supreme Court has not heard challenges from gun rights or gun control groups. So issues like assault weapons bans, trigger locks, the right to carry guns in public, up to the states to decide what they want to do. California's waiting period was put into place to perform background checks and provide sort of a cooling off period for prospective buyers. But then it was challenged to two gun owners as unconstitutional, particularly for people who already own a gun and have a concealed carry license. So that's where that came into play. And it takes four votes to hear a case. Thomas said the court would likely agree to review a 10-day waiting period for abortions or the publication of racist speech or even a 10-minute delay of a traffic stop rather than anything to do with the guns. So it's doubtful, and that's why they're saying it. We're not going to hear it because they know nobody's going to jump on that, that it's impossible. Hey, coming up on the show, I'm going to introduce you to the number one wealth manager. Easy for me to get out. The number one wealth manager in the United States. And she has such an interesting story. It certainly was not handed to her. Let's put it that way. She earned it big time. Showing up at 4 a.m. back in the day, reading everything she could to be well armed with the facts. And she certainly was. And now when she joins us, we'll talk about how do you become the number one wealth manager. It's a thing called follow-up. You know when you're supposed to follow up with people? She follows up big time. And it's made a huge difference in her business. And I think there is a business lesson in that for everybody listening to me. Because where are you with your business, no matter how big or small? Do you follow up correctly? Do you keep in touch with the people who are your clients? And the answer to that question is, I think there's a lot of poor customer service out there. I mean, in all arenas, not just financial, but across the board. So we're talking about it with Rebecca Rothstein next, coming up. Easy for me to say. That's 10 cups of coffee. That's 10 cups of coffee, folks, between this morning and now. That's the problem. Hang with us.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Message and data rates may apply.
You don't follow the herd. You blaze your own trail. And you're as adventurous in the kitchen as you are in life. Whether it's paddleboard yoga or Peruvian steak, you're the first to try new things. So are we. We're Green Chef, the first USDA-certified organic meal kit delivery service. We offer delicious meal plans for 7 different lifestyles: paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegetarian, vegan, carnivore, and omnivore. Want to be the first of your friends to try Green Chef? Discover our exclusive introductory deal by texting the keyword FUN66 to 543-543. We believe that cooking, just like life, should be all about experience and flavor. And by exploring dinner options with Green Chef, you'll try new recipes, techniques, and ingredients for bold, new restaurant-level flavors. It's like enjoying a new cooking class, but in your own home. To experience this culinary adventure, text now and discover our exclusive introductory deal. Text FUN66 to 543-543. That's FUN66 to 543-543.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Frank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Frank Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals, or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Frank Unlimited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Frank Unlimited. A name you can trust.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Really excited to welcome to the show Rebecca Rothstein. She is the number one female wealth manager in the U.S., managing director, wealth manager, private wealth manager for Merrill Lynch. And I'll tell you what, she's got this great rockin' podcast, Say It Forward. You can catch it on iTunes. And she is, according to Forbes, she is, as I said, the top ranking woman on a 2016 top wealth managers list, which is quite something if you think about it. So, Rebecca, welcome to the show. And Forbes says you're the one. You are that on the top of the list for wealth management. What does that mean, and how in the heck did you get there?
That's a very good question. And first of all, let me just say thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate your time. It's a very humbling and slightly embarrassing mark to have accomplished it. There are certainly so many women in the country that I would consider to be my peers, and certainly they would have the same credentials and ranking as I would. So I'm really flattered by the whole thing. And I've always felt that Forbes, the way that they recognize and the way that they account to get to the people who they rank, I think is probably the most legitimate way in the entire system of people who do this. You know, the criteria that they use is really important, and it's a very broad criteria, and I think that they really do a great job. So I'm happy to be in that position. So thank you for that.
So
now the second question is, how did I get there?
Yes.
I got here because I come to work every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I do, you know, a tremendous amount of heavy lifting. And it's not easy. I mean, this is not an easy job. This is not an easy, I had no clients at all. So I had to start from scratch. And it's not easy. It's a hard job. Anybody in my business knows that. It's a world that's much more difficult as the years have gone on. And it's just, I credit it to hard work, great, great partners, great business partners, great staff. And that's really, that's my, the answer to that question.
So here's what I want to know, Rebecca, because I have a feeling there's a good story here, and we love good stories. So there was a day when you were not working as a wealth manager. You had some career or job before, and then there was the day one of you launching into this new career. So what were you doing before, and what was it like on day one? And was there a moment on day one or shortly afterwards where a light bulb went off in your head and you realized, I can kill it here?
Well, I don't know that I would ever say that I could kill it, but it's a nice thing to say. But the answer to that question is I got married very young. I was 19 when I got married. I'd never finished high school. And I spent my early years working as a buyer for a department store. And I was always good with math. I was always good with numbers. I was always good in communication. And I was starting to have children, and I will tell you that my husband was pretty sick and tired of me crying all the time, because when you're a buyer, you travel a lot. And I would get my babies in the car, my husband would drive me to the airport, I would cling to them, I would kiss them goodbye, I was crying, I would go off on my buying trip and I would come back and he'd pick me up at the airport, and this went on and on and on. And he was really as sweet as he could possibly be. He recognized the pain that I was going through not being with my babies. So one morning he said to me, you should be a stockbroker, which I burst in those days we used to call what I do stockbrokers. I said, yeah, right, I never finished high school. How's that going to happen? And he said, well, you're good with math, you're good with people, and you're a good salesperson. So all of those things seem to lend themselves to having a career in that business. So,
wow.
I know, right? It's a great credit to him. So I studied at night and got my Series 7, and then I was lucky enough to find somebody to hire me. And which, by the way, isn't easy. I mean, when you have no book of business and you're not a high school graduate and you have three babies, at that time I had three kids, I now have four, getting somebody to take a leap of faith that you're going to show up for work every day and do a good job, that was a big leap of faith for the guy who hired me. And he did. He hired me about 2 months before the crash of 1987. Which, you know, was pale by comparison
yes.
to the crashes that we have today. But that's what happened.
Wow. So you start off and you have to build that book. You're excited. You get the break. And you said this now. I mean, you know, it's 4 a.m. in the morning, the whole thing, the heavy lifting. You must have done some really heavy lifting in the beginning. What was that like to start off from scratch?
It was not, you know, when I look back on this now, I think, geez, that was really something to have accomplished that. But it's important to remember that in my day, you could cold call people. You can't do that today. And so it's harder for young people today to build a business, I think, than it probably was for me at the time. But I used to come in at 4. I would read all the overnight news. Now, these are different times, right? We didn't have iPhones and Bloomberg terminals on our desks. And so if you wanted to know what was going on in the world, you had to read it. And so I would get in, I would read it, I would form an opinion about what was going on, and then I would start cold calling from the East Coast and work my way to the West Coast. And the only real compliment I'll give myself is that I was a great cold caller.
Mm.
I was a fantastic cold caller. I used to call people up on the phone, and I would say, hi, my name is Rebecca Rothstein, and yes, this is a cold call, and please don't hang up on me. If I can't convince you in 1 minute or less that I'm worthwhile talking to, then please, you can feel free to hang up on me. Just give me 1 minute. And that's what happened. Now, you know, 98% of the people hung up, but they didn't even want to hear that. But those 2%, you know, listened to me, and I would send them research, and I established a rapport with them, and, you know, I would go and keep calling them and keep sending them research, and then eventually, you know, they would open an account, and I would ask them for referrals, and they would open up another account, and that's really how it started. And I look today at these young people, and it's so much harder for these people to start in our business if you don't have any partnerships or you're not part of a team, because you can't cold call anymore. And it's hard. It's much harder.
So we're talking with Rebecca Rothstein. She's a managing director of wealth management and private wealth manager for Merrill Lynch. She also has a great podcast called Say It Forward. You can find it on iTunes as Just Say It Forward or at justsayitforward.com. So I'm really interested in what you just said, Rebecca, about cold calling. I mean, first of all, I don't think in the history of man and woman and in the history of sales anyone has ever liked cold calling. But you sound like you really embraced it, right? I mean, you may not have liked it, but you did it anyway. And I'm wondering if you can look at it and see some corollary between what you were doing in cold calling back then and how people today are getting better and better at communicating through a lot of different digital channels. Because in today's world, you can do A/B testing, you can try things, you can chart how you're succeeding and how you're failing. And so the medium is different, but I'm wondering if you could see that it might actually be the same tools that you were using, which is refining your message, listening to improve it, and being sensitive to what your prospect or client is thinking, saying, and doing?
That's a really good question. I think that for me, I am so competitive that anytime somebody, and I own it, right? Like I say, yep, I'm competitive. But I'm not competitive to kill people competitive. Like I didn't want to, I wasn't trying to target anybody. I was really competitive with myself. Like I figured if I had a list of 100 people I was going to call today, somebody was going to say yes to me. And I was going to keep calling until somebody said yes to me. I was not giving in, and I was not giving up. And that just was the way it was. So I'm very competitive with myself. And then as I became more successful, I became competitive with my peers, but in a very kind of universally friendly way. Like, you know, we would all be sitting in this pit cold calling, and, you know, we would sort of challenge each other to, well, I'm going to get at least one client today, and there was no way I was going to not win that. Just not happening. And so, and then I think that, you know, so now I'm developing a book right now. I've got clients. Now I've got people who talk to me. Now I follow through with them. But then the real work begins, right? Because now you've got a client base. So the only way you keep clients, and this is a really important lesson for everybody in our business to know, once you get a client, in order to keep that client, you need to knock the cover off the ball. And not just in your stock picks that you do, because really none of us do that anymore, but you need to service them, you need to respond to them, you need to follow through with them, you need to ask them, am I doing a good job for you? Is there anything else I can do for you? I really appreciate your business. It means a lot to me. You know, these are the little things that people need to do. And they have to remind themselves to say thank you to their clients. Hmm. Because for sure, those clients are, nobody's iron locked to you. You know, they don't have handcuffs that they have to stay with you to be your client. And so you have to acknowledge that you appreciate doing business with them, and you have to respect the fact that you're responsible for their not only present day monies, but their future monies and their family's future monies. And in our job, you can't ever forget that, ever. You never can take a minute off thinking that you're not having a huge amount of responsibility on the outcome of those people's lives.
Wow.
And you have to acknowledge that. My team and I have a standard, you know, my book is much bigger now, right? So we have a circular plan that every client gets touched every quarter. Every client gets touched every quarter. And so we sit down, we have a whole system here where my lead assistant has a schedule of the people that need to be seen in that quarter, in that coming quarter. And I send out an email to them, let's get a call on the calendar, let's get a meeting on the calendar. I copy her, she follows up, she gets the meeting scheduled. And this goes on every day, every week, every month, every year. And we never let up. So we don't, you haven't got a single client in our book of business that will say they haven't heard from us. And so I think that that's the way that you have good performance with your clients, good relations with your clients, and good retention with your clients.
Wow, so well said. Rebecca Rothstein, we're not done with you yet because you have just a wealth of information. So it's perfect. You're the number one female wealth manager in the U.S. Thank you so much for joining us on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
The
answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Your attorneys to plead my case. No lawyers to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true with diamonds and gold, but that ain't gonna help me now. Trouble, in trouble now.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Yeah, let's dig in the mailbag as we round the corner for our final segment of this Hour of America tonight. Let's hit it hard. This one is from Dan, and he says, Kate, oh, so disgusting what happened in Florida. There are no words. You're right when you say that. How can you come up with anything to adequately describe the feelings that we all feel when we see these images of young kids, frankly, coming out in body bags and other children running for their life? It's like an eeny, meeny, miny, mo situation, and it's awful and unsettling and should not be happening in our schools. What do you think the answer is? Well, I said the extreme answer would be, what if you had some teachers armed and they were skilled in marksmanship, even, let's say, and had a carry and conceal license and were practiced in that, and etc. But as I say that, like they do in Israel, the problem would then be one accident, one bullet that bounces, one thing that happens, because certainly they wouldn't be police officers, and it would be a complete and utter disaster if a child was killed, and imagine the lawsuits and etc. So that's not really a solution that's workable. Sounds workable, not workable. Can you lock the schools down? The answer is you cannot completely lock the schools down because of the movement in and out, etc. Different time periods,
how schools are basically run. You can't make the kids prisoners in the school. That's not right either. And in some schools, I would say one thing, if they don't have metal detectors, you're going to have metal detectors. I think a lot of schools do have that already. Is there security guards? Is there enough security? Do you enlist private security? And do you put more cameras up? See, then you start to talk about how far do you go with the privacy issues and an invasion of privacy. I'll tell you what, I thank God every day that I grew up when I grew up. It used to be the opposite. You'd be like, oh, boy, these young people, they're so lucky, a couple decades behind me. But now I see this, and it just breaks my heart. What we didn't worry about, they have to somehow have in their minds. And it's just the new normal. And I think that there are kids out there that completely can deal with it, but they shouldn't have to deal with it. They shouldn't have to. It's pushing a lot of buttons. But how much privacy do you give up? How do you figure out what really could work versus what is a little bit extraordinarily difficult to really do? And as somebody who went to a big school, a school that was kind of on the map, there was more than 4,000 students in my high school. And I remember we had sometimes a fake fire drills, like, or somebody would pull the fire alarm. And we had things that happened, but nothing like that, of course. We're never even looking over our shoulder, not having drills for what if a shooter comes in. And it was just different. I mean, we were in and out of the school. We went to wherever, McDonald's for lunch sometimes when we finally got a license and somebody had a car. I mean, all those things that you do, you can't, are just now being challenged because of campuses and who's coming in and out of the campuses. I just spoke at a high school a couple of months ago, and it was a wonderful experience, and the kids were great. And this was a high school where it was very active after hours. It was like almost like a community center for how many kids were there and doing different things. And I thought, wow, look how open, and I thought it, look how open the parking lot is and the campus, you know, is this a target, or could they be targets? And the answer is, of course, every school could be a target. So it's a very difficult question. It's very difficult. If I were a parent in a situation where I had a child in a school and we kept hearing about the drills, et cetera, I would say everybody pony up for more security. That perhaps is the best, because one security guard kind of ramping things around a big school is not enough. I would say more security. That's my answer. How about this one? This one is from Civil, who says, Kate, what's the deal? Sexual harassment, me too. That's all anyone's talking about. And I do think it's about time. It's ridiculous what's happened to some women and utterly reprehensible for the men who allowed that to happen and said nothing while they sunk into their seats and took their raises. Thank you very much. But at the same time, there are other men that are being accused of harassment who say they are not harassers, and now they're starting to fight back, like Tavis Smiley, who's taking PBS to court for telling him adios. What do you make of it? Well, I think if somebody thinks they're innocent, they should use the legal system, and they should pursue it that way. I mean, PBS announced in December they decided to indefinitely suspend him after he was accused of sexual harassment by several people, current and former co-workers. They said it was troubling. They said they hired an outside law firm to conduct an investigation before they cut ties with him. And he's saying that's not true. So we'll see where it ends up. But do I believe that some people are getting washed into that and being painted with a broad brush? Of course that's going to happen. But we don't want that to happen, and that's part of the blowback of this, because it's been so despicable, and everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people just slurked away from it. Just slurked away from it. That's why I'm most proud about my nephew. He's 16. Such a mature kid and so honest. And I always tell him, just keep that honesty. Stick up for the girls that you're friendly with. Don't allow things to happen that shouldn't happen, etc. And he does. I've seen him. I've seen how he is. And I think moving forward, that's probably what we'll get more of. But it certainly wasn't there before. How about this one? This one is from Britain, who says, Kate Delaney, how about what is happening with Amazon? You mentioned Jeff Bezos, who has just exploded as one of the most known names in just about any corner of the world because of the incredible success of Amazon and the projects that he's worked on and that he's been able to afford because of it is just mind-boggling, isn't it? Well, here's what he does. He reads the tea leaves. He stays ahead of the trends. He sets the trends. Brilliant. The Whole Foods and the delivery and other areas that Amazon has gotten into. Exactly. He does read the tea leaves. So he's staying ahead. He's not resting and saying, okay, this is our niche and we're growing it. And he's looking for every cutting edge thing that he could possibly think of to implement in the company that works. Or at least give it a whirl, and if it doesn't work, then dump it out, right? It's kind of like Walmart. Walmart with the on, to try to compete, Walmart did the online shopping thing, and it is just blew up all over them. Because the problem is, you got to be really stocked, ready to roll to make that happen. And sometimes looking across the horizon and seeing what competition is doing and trying to snap up the same thing yourself, it doesn't always work. I think Jeff Bezos was somewhat ready for it. I mean, of course, people were complaining about the shelves being barren in some Whole Foods stores because of everything that was going out the door. But that's the problem of the copycat syndrome, too. What horses do you have to implement what you're doing? And what about the items that are in the store? How many of those are being taken out with online versus what you're stocking up? And therein lies the sweet spot. And if you don't hit it exactly right, disastrous, which is what's happened to Walmart. If you hit it pretty good, and you're Amazon, then you're feeling good because you hit it right. And you'll iron out the little problems, and they won't be problems anymore. Here's one, an uplifting one. Bernard says, Kate, bravo for the Medal of Valor that was handed out to 12 public safety officers. They so deserve it. And I'm so glad to see that in the middle of all this negative news, we have something positive to celebrate. It is positive to celebrate them because Medal of Valor, of course, is our nation's highest award for public safety. People who risk their lives trying to save or protect other people, and they should be recognized for that. Thank you all for listening to this version of America Tonight. See you on the flip side.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.